Is it a conspiracy or a confluence of interests? Whichever the case, some may conspire. So hi guys, I'm back here with another article. Sorry, it's been a little while. Very busy trying to get everything done. But this one's called ET Disclosure or a Coming Out Party. So it covers the recent congressional UAP disclosure and what that actually might mean. So the subtitle is the recent congressional UAP disclosure a soft reveal for the DEF cult handlers? Now, anyone who comes out and says they're former intelligence to me is always intelligence. Once intelligence, always intelligence. And we had the likes of Dick Coulson, the father of Tucker Coulson, was a agent of some sort for the US government, and we'll discuss that later. And even people like Alex Jones have intelligence in their family. So we have to be aware that anyone does this kind of alternative, true alternative media work, that this kind of information is controlled before even it gets into the system, and is trying to kind of wade this stuff out. So this whole system of alternative media is unfortunately in itself a tool of intelligence. It doesn't mean that everyone in it, obviously, including myself, is part of it. It just means that you are working within a system that's been created for you. And I think anyone who doesn't believe that to be true is kind of a bit naive, really, to think that this stuff is working with information that is coming from source. This is all filtered through through many different avenues, and it doesn't mean even the person putting the information out, like this fellow from the congressional hearing, has any idea as to what the actual overall agenda is. But this is my kind of theory as to what it might be, knowing what I know. So let's start the article. Today, I had the honour and pleasure of interviewing author and former deacon of the Anglican Church, Paul Wallace. Paul has written an excellent series of books about the ET and UAP phenomena called the Eden series. This unique perspective from a former deacon of the Church of England and someone who studied the roots of language has opened up the biblical canon to show that what we are reading are stories of ET visitations, human manipulation and colonisation, and not stories about God at all. These are flesh and blood, possibly blue blood, beings who come from distant planets and star systems, and possibly even interdimensional beings. His latest edition is The Invasion of Eden. Did our ancestors warn us about an ET invasion? So that's the invasion of Eden. I would highly recommend Paul's entire Eden series, as well as his fascinating YouTube channel and website, The Fifth Kind. Whilst preparing for today's classified interview, which you can see now on iconic.com, it's been out a couple of weeks now, I was initially concerned with bringing up the likelihood of the global cult playing the fake alien invasion card, and how this may be a reason as to why the likes of former intelligence officer David Grush, or Grush, has been pressuring the Pentagon to release any information they have on back-engineered technology, as well as information on recovered off-world biologics, which is just a fancy way of saying aliens or DNA. That's the term he's using, off-world biologics. Dave Grush and Congress. Dave Grush is a former USAF intelligence officer of some 14 years of service, and from 2021 to 2023 he has been a major for the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, where he says he has worked at the highest level of US intelligence. See, there you go again. So are they going to just start letting him talk out about these things? Of course they're not. So there'll have to be, in my opinion, an ulterior motive as to why this is being pushed out, and that's what I'm trying to I'll get to later in the article. David spoke at a congressional hearing under oath before the Congressional House Oversight Subcommittee on July the 26th, 2023, which is located on Capitol Hill, which is named after Capitoline Hill in Rome, which was once called Mons Saturnia. So it's a Saturn cult, basically. This whole place that he's doing this hearing on and oversight on is on a place named after a Saturn cult's place of residence in Rome, which goes back to Babylon and goes back to Mesopotamia and pray that. So David and two other military veterans testified at the hearing about their individual experiences. The two military veterans, besides Mr. Grush, or Grush, were former Navy fighter pilot Ryan Graves and retired commander David Fravor. Graves and Fravor both gave their accounts of encounters with aircraft of unexplained origins. That's the terms that they used. Now I believe that once intelligence, always intelligence. And I just don't mean in terms of mindset. I mean that once you are in, you never get out completely. The fact is that without naming names, I believe I've interviewed many authors and researchers who are likely still involved with intelligence themselves. I believe it would be very naive to think that you won't be encountering intelligence agents whilst working in the spheres of global conspiracy journalism and research. That's absolutely true. So here's an example. In fact, it is well known that Tucker Carlson's father, Dick Carlson, worked for the United States Information Agency, which was an official United States government agency devoted to the practice of public diplomacy, which operated from 1953 to 1999. He was connected to the United States government, this guy. This is Tucker Carlson's father. This agency was also connected to Bill Clinton, who assigned its cultural exchange and non-broadcasting intelligence functions to the newly created Under Secretary of State for Public Diplomacy or Diplomacy and Public Affairs. This appears to be a long-winded way of saying that it was part of a media relations for the US government. That's what his job was. He was a part of media relations to the US government, it seems that way. Dick Carlson. So Tucker Carlson himself even admitted he attempted to join the CIA but was unsuccessful. I, for one, believe he was successful, and it was even a bit of a running gag between Tucker and former KGB agent, Russian President Vladimir Putin, in a recent interview. These are all still intelligence. And at the top level, I believe these all connect into one. KGB, Mossad, MI6, MI5. I mean, even Zelensky recently was said to have met, I think it was 2 months or maybe a month into his term as the Prime Minister of Ukraine. He was summoned to London to talk with MI6 and a guy called Richard Moore, I believe. So it seems like he got his marching orders there. So even Alex Jones has CIA intelligence officers in his family. Some research suggests that Alex's father, David Ross Jones, was a CIA operative. And even Alex himself openly talks about his uncle, William Forrest Biff Hammann, being both CIA and US Army Special Enforces. So I said FBI at the start, but it was CIA. And there's a WikiSpooks image there of Biff and some connections. And David Jones, his father, Alex Jones' father. Whether you believe these or not, it's totally obviously down to you. But his Uncle Biff, as Alex says, he's openly admits that Uncle Biff was a CIA operative. And he also talks about him having some sort of a chip put in him that cured, I think, something from a motorbike accident. And he was talking about this on a live stream with Elon Musk. So he was obviously pushing this Microsoft microchip technology then. So you just have to be aware that these things go on. And this intelligence is being put out from all angles. So to this end, it would be incredibly naive to believe that David Grush is not running some form of intelligence operation in terms of this information coming to the world stage. David was the lead investigator for the UAP task force at the Pentagon. I mean, come on. Once intelligence, always intelligence, in my view. He says he became frustrated when he was refused access to something that he called the program, even though he had and still has SCI clearance. SCI is a type of classified information controlled through formal systems established by the Director of National Intelligence. Again, he still has his clearance. So to think that this isn't part of that information, I think is quite naive. David then became a whistleblower through a PPD-19 urgent concern filing, concerning multiple reports from current and former military and intelligence community individuals that revealed the government was operating on UAPs, so back engineering basically. This included reverse engineering work on found ET technology, as well as recovered non-human biologics. There we go, so non-human biologics. Now this could mean, doesn't actually necessarily mean ETs. It could mean that these are biologics that don't create the human. So I kind of, one of my thoughts, I suppose it's a theory, is that the Roswell crash wasn't an ET crash at all. It could well have been a crash from something that they were working on in some of the underground bases in New Mexico. And these non-biologic beings that they found there were actually created here. in these underground bases. You've got Dulcie Base there, Sorrow Ranch of Epstein fame, obviously came around a lot later, but there appears to be underground labs there, laboratories there, including according to Juliet Bryant, who spent time there, who's an Epstein survivor. Obviously, we have Trementina Base, which is the vaults for Scientology. And we also have the Trinity site of the nuclear testing, the Manhattan Project. And this goes back to Columbia University. And I've covered this in other articles, where they stored underneath what used to be an insane asylum, which is still one of the buildings in Columbia University. They stored beneath that a particle accelerator. What do you need a particle accelerator in New York for? This all connects. New York connects to New Mexico. And that's worth looking into. I've got other articles on richard.willett.substack.com about these things. But it all connects. So this is an intelligence operation in my view, but for what end? And this is what David and others in the intelligence community have dubbed the program. So this is the program they say that they don't have access to. That could possibly be true. But to think that the overall revelations of this information isn't part of some grander, larger scheme or agenda, I think is, again, a bit naive. So the threat card, one of the main themes of David's push to get this information out to the public is one of transparency, and most importantly because these vehicles and non-human biological entities could pose a national threat. So we're using these national threat. This is the threat card. This is the thing that they always put out there. And again, part of this is going to be something coming. We all need to get together and be one world, something to face off the threat of these aliens. Again, so that brings in the fake alien agenda, fake alien invasion angle. So in my interview with Paul Wallace, he pointed out the slightly absurd contradiction of Secret Services claiming to want transparency of information, when that is obviously the exact opposite of what a Secret Service is designed to do. The most crucial element here is the use of the terms threat and national security. How many times have we seen governments spin world events in order to use them as an excuse to introduce more draconian laws in the interest of national security? Just look at the fallout of 9/11, a satanic Roman numeral symbol, by the way. If you add the 1XX1 of Roman numerals, it comes out as 9/11, which is also the Gate of Apollo. And then subsequently introduced the Patriot Act. So after 9/11, which is the sigil of Saturn, they introduced the Patriot Act. And as the problem was 9/11, which we know from other research was an orchestrated event. Plenty of information out there about that. And then the reaction was, oh my God, we better do something. And the solution was the Patriot Act, which took away many of the US citizens' rights, especially when it comes to being spied on. So according to ACLU.org, the Patriot Act was hastily passed in 45 days after 9/11 in the name of national security. And it doesn't take a genius to figure out that this act was, of course, ready and waiting to go, waiting for what George Bush Sr. once called a new Pearl Harbor, which again was another problem reaction solution, a false flag problem reaction solution, which only gives more credence to the likelihood that the events of 9/11 were planned all along by this global death cult. Here's an image in the article of Michael Jackson dancing. This was released in 1997 on the front cover of Blood on the Dance Floor. He's wearing a red suit, which has obviously the blood connotation to that. He's dancing on a Masonic floor and the Twin Towers are going down in the background. And that was 1997. And as many ever, especially like The Simpsons, many, many other versions of this, of watching the Twin Towers go down. Obviously, the Twin Towers connect to Freemasonry, and the Two Towers of Solomon's Temple, never remember their names, that are outside the front of Solomon's Temple as you go in. It all connects. George Bush Sr. was referring to the need for an incident that would eventually be used as a catalyst for the introduction of the Project for the New American Century, which in reality is a project for a regime change in the Middle East for the Zionist Sabbatean masters and a messianic mission for a third Solomon's Temple in Jerusalem. The invasion of Iraq, including the looting of their museums, which saw the theft of ancient alien relics and possibly time travel technology. Overall, the Patriot Act gave the US government the freedom to legally spy on everyday US citizens. So when terms such as threat and national security start to get bandied about, it may well be that this is supposed alien invasion is going to be used to introduce more devastating draconian surveillance laws sold to the public for their own national and global security. Remember, once intelligence, always intelligence. And you can read this article on richard.willett.substack.com. The fact is that the ET phenomena is a mixed bag with a wide range of theories about a wide range of alien races that may have been here on Earth thousands of years ago, and some may still be here today. And as with any group of beings, there will be those who seek to control and manipulate humanity, those who are positive and supportive to our cause, and those who are indifferent. Some may be a threat to us, while others may be assisting us here on Earth. We have many reports of UAPs hovering over nuclear testing sites, switching off technology and disarming facilities when they feel we are about to blow ourselves up again. And it appears that obviously this happened a long while ago. I spoke to a guy called Garth Skywalker. I'm assuming that's not his Christian name. And he was actually up Mount Shasta. And this interview is available on iconic.com. And we were talking about the mysteries of Mount Shasta. And he talks about, I think he said 500 million or something like that. Year-old incident between Atlantis and Lumeria. And he was talking about it was a nuclear war that basically decimated the Earth, and we've been trying to crawl back to some sort of civilization since then. And obviously we have a lot of these accounts of these global cataclysms. And he believes that the flood version of it was another reset that came later, so he's not talking about the same incident. But it's very interesting, nonetheless, because the themes, at the very least, fit, even if the dressing is completely different. The struggle between good, God, and evil. One of the most famous alien races to have visited Earth would of course be the Anunnaki, also known as the Anunu, the Ahumanu, the Mo, and the Kianu, depending on what part of the world you come from. Although accounts vary, it appears that these were some sort of feathered serpent being who came to Earth to colonise, annex, and ultimately enslave the human race as it was then on Earth. Ancient accounts suggest that at this time, humanity lived a hunter and gatherer life, a mostly simple and peaceful existence. This would be the same time that Saturn ruled the Earth and what the ancients called the Golden Age of Saturn. So this is the Purple Dawn. It also appears that humans at this stage were able to access other senses, perhaps even telepathy, an ability to speak cognitively with animals, and even an ability to contact those from other dimensions through the pineal gland, which is the sixth sense. That's why we don't need CERN opening up portals. And we've had ancient rituals for a long time that have been opening up these portals, as ancient accounts show, or at least suggest. And then we have this cognitive ability where we're able to talk to these other beings that appears to be shut off. And then you've got the King Arthur stories there as well. So the themes are there anyway. Many believe that it was beings from the Pleiades who are said to have been a collective of multidimensional spiritual beings whose mission it is to assist humanity with the process of spiritual transformation. So here we have at least two conflicting accounts of beings visiting Earth, one to enslave us and another one who wants to assist us. At this moment in time, I would say that the hybrid bloodlines of the Anunu are the black nobility bloodlines that rule our global caste system through the City of London, Washington DC, and the Vatican today. This is the old Saturn Babylonian death cult that never went away. We know that the Vatican served the Dagon of Babylon, who are regarded as feathered serpents. We can see this depicted in the mitre fish hat they wear. I mean, it's so obvious. Go and have a look at that image. It's in the article. And it's worth having a look. It's quite clear who they're serving, these Dagon fish gods or serpents, who appear to come from under the water. And it was one time it was believed that the Great Pyramids were surrounded by water. The Helpers. The Pleiades are a group of stars that are also known as the Seven Sisters, which is a constellation in Taurus. This group is also referred to as M45 by astronomers, which comes from the 18th century astronomer Charles Messier. The names of these seven sisters in ancient Greek cosmology are Maia, Electra, Alcyone, Tygette, Calione, Merope, and Astrope. Probably butchered some of them, but have a look. This star cluster is a whopping 444.2 light years away from Earth. The brightest star of the Pleiades is called Alcyone, which is believed to be 7 times brighter than our sun Ra. So Ra is the sun we have today. In some accounts, people believe that the original sun was the best sun, which was Saturn, before it pissed off and moved away. The positive nature of these beings can be found all over the world. In the Native American Cherokee legends, they believe their indigenous people to be star seeds with a mission to bring light and knowledge to the earth. Star seeds are said to be advanced spiritual beings from other planets and realms who bring advanced knowledge to the earth. I personally don't buy into this concept as it smacks of egotism and desperation and a desperate need to feel special, but many in the New Age and ET research fields do believe this to be true. It's just something that I don't tend to be. The star seed thing doesn't really kind of sit well with me. Other cultures such as the Navajo call the Pleiades star cluster the Sparkling Sun. The Iroquois, who are members of a North American Indian tribe, seek happiness from this constellation. A good friend of mine and conspiracy author Dean Henderson often talks about the Lakota Dakota people who say that their ancestors are from the Pleiades. The Pleiades have said to have had a Nordic or Scandinavian appearance, with some having a 700-year lifespan. All in all, these Palladians are consistently seen to be benevolent beings who are quietly assisting humanity from the shadows. Perhaps it is because of the watchful eye of benevolent beings such as the Palladians that the serpent stroke fish gods or beings have not been able to reveal themselves to the world for thousands of years. It appears there was some sort of... The ancient tales tell of some sort of war between these two, and you have the Lemurians and the Atlanteans, and it appears that the serpents were driven underground, and some say that could be the Lemurians or the Atlanteans, or a combination, a hybrid of the both, which is where Mount Shasta comes in, by the way. So that's really fascinating that the Lemurians are said to have gone there and been invited by the Telosians, if you believe in that kind of bit of information, but all very, very interesting. The serpents. There is a reason why the snake has been used to symbolise danger throughout the ages, and perhaps it has been written into our very DNA to be on guard from those with forked tongues. The most famous of these snakes would, of course, be the snake in the Garden of Eden, the being who tempted Eve to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The interpretations of who this snake is or what it represents are vast and wide, from Lucifer to the first wife of Adam, who is Lilith. What we do know is that this powerful symbol is still used today in correlation with DNA. Just look at the twin serpents of the Caduceus, which is the staff carried by Hermes in Greek mythology. The Caduceus can also be seen carried by the left hand of Mercury, who is said to be the messenger of God. The Caduceus is also used as a symbol for medicine, especially in the US, and to me these could also represent the two strands of DNA of the hybrid bloodlines that these snakes or serpents left behind to guard their Garden of Eden. Also notice the feathered wings at the top. There's an image there of the Caduceus, which is the twin snakes wrapped around the pole, and with the two wings at the top. To me, that's a clear symbology of the two strands of DNA being mixed together to create this hybrid bloodline, which are these feathered serpents, or come from these feathered serpents mixed with the human DNA. And this is where we get the blue bloods, I believe, or these black nobility. So these bloodlines would be the black nobility and ancient nobility bloodlines that span the globe. The very same bloodlines whose ancient ill-gotten money is now being filtered through the likes of BlackRock and Vanguard, BlackRock being a symbol for Saturn, into cut-out corporations such as Spotify, Tencent Holdings, X and Facebook that are merely components in an overall satanic control system. And there's an image there in the article. You can see the royal houses of Europe, which are the most famous ones, but you're looking at royals from Saudi Arabia and China and all over the world, basically. The American presidents are very much, in large part, connected to these bloodlines. Just look at the logo for Bill Gates, who's a Jesuit, World Health Organization. He was definitely trained at a Jesuit camp. I think it was a scout camp, and his wife was trained at a Jesuit school. Here we see a single snake wrapped around the same rod, sitting within a target over the world. Now this snake would, in my opinion, represent the DNA of humanity. The DNA these reptilian colonizers found when they got here, before they added their own reptilian DNA to the mix, thus the two snakes of the Caduceus. This single strand of its human DNA is the target, so the target is over the human DNA. And this is the World Health Organization's logo. Again, this has been a symbol for medicine for a long time, especially in Europe. So there is a difference between the two, but in Europe, we seem to use the single snake more. Take away the snake on a pole and you get the United Nations logo, a target transposed onto an image of the world. This is surrounded by feathers or perhaps wings of the winged serpent. So the symbology is there. There's an image there that shows all three together, and the clear correlation is amazing. Other serpent-like alien visitors include Quetzalcoatl in the Aztec culture and literature, and the creative spirit of the rainbow serpent in Australia. Now, the rainbow is a symbology of the Noahide laws, which is part of the Kabbalah, part of this messianic outcome for Solomon's temple, which will go back to the Twin Towers. So the Twin Towers are, again, the two pillars outside of Solomon's temple, if Solomon's temple ever existed. I inclined to think that it never did, but they're certainly trying to build what they believe to be the third temple on Jerusalem, on the Temple Mount, and I have a theory of how they're going to combine that possibly with the Al-Aqsa Mosque that's already there, and to create a system, a kind of a beast system from there. So back to the article anyway. One of the more famous names for these colonizing beings is Anunu or the Anunnaki. Paul Wallace points out and that the Elohim actually translates as the powerful ones, which should of course be plural. With this in mind, Paul's Eden series has done a wonderful job and wonderful work to show that the biblical texts are not dealing with God stories, but stories about alien visitors. Some of these visitors are benevolent to human outcomes and some are malevolent to our needs. And I also would include in that now interdimensional beings. The Hebrew text and those who have altered them over thousands of years have tried to hide the fact that we are talking about non-human visitors. In the Abrahamic religions, which is Abrahma, which appear that some people believe that Abraham, the name Abraham, comes from Abrahma, which is the highest caste system of the Hindu caste system. So Abraham, the main god is Yahweh. So in the Abrahamic religions, the main god is Yahweh. In reality, Yahweh is just one of a pantheon of beings worshipped around the time of King Solomon. So he is an Elohim, but he's not the god. He's one of these, looks like extraterrestrial or interdimensional beings. Yahweh was said to be a jealous god who demanded his specific faction of people worship no other gods than him. So there must have been other gods, because he couldn't have been the only god, because he's jealous of other ones. The punishment for doing so was met with destruction through fire, which may mean a sacrificial ritual or via some sort of technology. The Anunnaki and the Elohim are both described as having wings. The Anunnaki are seen as humanoids with feathered wings, as is the case with some depictions of the Elohim, one of which was Yahweh. As you can see by the Caduceus, there appears to be a theme of both reptilians and feathered beings. And this goes back thousands of years. Even Noah was believed to have shining or sparkling skin. He would have been a hybrid in these narratives. These are winged serpents who are actually physical beings and not some spiritual god-like being. We are talking about non-human biologics, such as the ones David Grusch alluded to in his testimony at Congress in July of 2023. These beings have been here before, and perhaps a faction of them never left. It appears that they lost an ancient war and were driven underground. Paul Wallace lists the following names in the Hebrew scriptures for these serpent beings in his book Invasion of Eden, and they're as follows. The powerful one, El. The powerful one of the prince, Beelzebub. The powerful one of Ekron, El of Ekron. The prince of Persia, Wazer Malkut Paras. The powerful one of the Philistines, which is Dagon. Dagon is a sea dragon. And you see the Pope's mitre hat, which is Nimrod. So Nimrod is one of the Dagon. The Vatican worshipped the fish god Elohim Nimrod, who was a Dagon. Teshmosh is another name. Asherah, which I believe is another version of Shekinah, which is the female aspect of Yahweh, and El Elyon, the powerful one higher than the others. So these are just different names for the same beings, but I believe that these lot are not the same being. They're the same type of being. So they're all Elohim, which is a group of extraterrestrials. Yahweh was just one of these groups, and not a particularly nice one. What we clearly have here is a list of Elohim who were given governance and reign over a select group of humans. Yahweh would simply have been the governor of his select group of people, no different from the governments of the world today. So they would have just been in charge of a select group of people. That's basically what he would have been. He could have been interdimensional as well, or he could have been a physical being, ET type being here. So when you see modern day Zionists attempting to build their third temple of Solomon on Temple Mount in Jerusalem, it must be understood that this is all part of a 6,000 year old agenda to restore their Elohim Yahweh to the throne of his people in Jerusalem and to crown the new Sangreal king, which is from the Merovingian bloodline, as the king of the world who reside in the temple. Now, I believe that, my theory is that the Sangreal king will come from these black nobility bloodlines, and we have the British rules involved with that too. And that king will sit on the throne, but they won't be in charge. I believe that this Elohim will be AI. It will be infused in AI, and they will try and sell it as the God technology that's bringing in something from elsewhere, another portal. We already have a Harvard professor, Avi Loeb, who was former Israeli Defense Force and involved with some very kind of top-level projects there, and went to Princeton. He's coming out saying CERN are opening up portals, letting in interdimensional beings. Now, I believe, again, that that's just part of the narrative to set up a part of this, which possibly would be the interdimensional aspect that we would have through ChatGPT and AI. I believe that they're going to try and sell it, that this technology got out of hand and it's taken over, and that will sit inside Solomon's temple as well, possibly in the Dome of the Rock on top of a hybrid of the two, a Solomon's temple with a Dome of the Rock on top. And I talk about this in my next article after this one that just went out last night. Okay, unfortunately, this is where the British royals come from. They're not British, but you know what I mean. The ancient bloodline used the likes of Princess Diana and Kate Middleton as surrogate mothers to birth their pure blue blood prince for their world to come. So you have Kate Middleton there with, I think it's Prince Louis, blatantly with the Rosemary Baby dress on, and a very similar dress Diana had with William. This is what they use these poor women for as well. And Kate Middleton seems to have gone missing for a while now. No one really knows where she is. She's apparently not very well, bless her. But I think maybe she's come to understand that she's been used in this way. So this is the true root reason why the Zionists, Sabbateans, controlled Israel government are committing genocide in Gaza and being allowed to get away with it. And the true reason why the US, which is still a colony of the British Crown, are the sole supporters of the Zionist genocide of Palestinians in Gaza today. I say sole, but I mean the UK doesn't do much to kind of push back against it. They are doing it for the Elohim God Yahweh, who some researchers, such as Christopher John Bjerknes, believe to be a cover for Set or Satan and the snake in the Garden of Eden. The evidence all points towards an army of serpent-like beings, some with feathered wings, arriving on Earth around 8,000 years ago and colonizing, genociding, categorizing and controlling the people of Earth who were there already, perhaps a human race that was previously upgraded and assisted by Palladian beings who were far more benevolent to humanity. And then we came to the reptilians. So I'll leave the article there, and you can go over and read the rest of the article, because it goes on and it talks about the underground bases. It talks about Bohemian Grove, and it talks about how some of these castles, like the Mothers of Darkness Castle, fit into this stuff and the color purple. And it just goes so deep. It goes into the secret space program, President Eisenhower, Dulce Base, and it does just keep going and going and going. So I will leave you that. But my kind of take on this is that this appears to be the softening, in my view, of a narrative that will reveal these beings as always being here, or interdimensional beings that came and went. And they will be revealed as our fathers, our creators. And therefore, we should serve them. And they know what's best for us. And I just think it's a setting up of as another control system. So we need to watch these people that reveal this stuff, like a David Grosh, because once intelligence, always intelligence. And I believe that they're trying to set up a narrative that these beings who are here, who I believe are here and are living within the earth and possibly can come and go during these satanic rituals and portals that have been here for a long time, setting it up so humanity, which is like nearly 9 billion strong now, believe that these are our fathers and our creators and we should serve them as we probably once did about 8,000 years ago. And I think we should watch out for that because this is our home and this is our place. And we shouldn't be allowing other people or beings or non-biologics to come in and tell us how to live our lives. And this is why I believe this narrative is a setup to do. So head over to richard.willett.substack.com to read the entire article. Please do subscribe and help me write my weekly articles like this. I really, really appreciate it. It gives me the time to do this research and helps with the information I can put out on classified on iconic.com and out in these podcasts and try and pick this thing apart, because it's absolutely fascinating to me. But I believe everything, unfortunately, that these guys, these intelligence, former intelligence agents put out is for a larger purpose, even if they don't know it at the time. It all fits together and it's all heading towards the final boss at Jerusalem, Solomon's Temple, Temple Mount, possibly mixed in a combination of the Al-Aqsa Mosque with the Dome of the Rock on top and artificial intelligence being run out of there with, under the guise of a Sangreal king and possibly a being that's taken over this technology that they will try and sell to us as our father, as our ruler. I don't believe any of that will be true, although I do believe these things can happen. I believe it's all just a sales pitch and an 8,000-year-old narrative. So, guys, please do go and do your own research, come to your own conclusions, and I will see you soon here for more Some May Conspire podcasts. Cheers, take care, goodbye. Is it a conspiracy or a confluence of interests? Whichever the case, some may conspire.